The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hi, and welcome to the Well Read Podcast, a bi-weekly discussion on books and reading. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Anne.
And we're librarians with Beaufort County Library in South Carolina. And happy 2017, everybody.
Yay.
Hey. We're actually recording this in December, but yeah.
We can pretend.
Set to the future. Yeah. And today's episode is going to be our reading resolutions for the year, as well as looking back on 2016 to see how we did on our reading resolutions, which we had an episode at the beginning of last year discussing what we were hoping to do in 2016. So do you want to just dive in and tell me, how do you feel like your reading year was for 2016? Did you accomplish what you wanted to accomplish?
In some ways, I did. Definitely some ways.
Okay.
Others. Maybe. Well, let's kind of talk first about, like, we talked at length last year about reading, like, the Goodreads challenge your lack of it and my embracing of it. And I still really enjoyed it this year.
Good,
like
I'm
did
glad.
It. I did it this year, and I met my challenge. Yeah. And I think that I thought about it all through the year of, do I feel like I'm forcing myself to read when I don't really want to, and I feel like I have to hit some number, and I don't feel like I ever did.
Good.
But maybe that's because I was ahead the whole year. Yeah. So
that helps.
Yeah. And so I just think it's fun to see sort of the tracking of it. Like I enjoy statistics enough to enjoy that process.
So. I hear you. And I actually track my reading through a spreadsheet. And throughout the year, I would look to see how many books I had read and compare it to the previous year and see if I was on track or behind from last year. But for me, it helps take the feeling of reading just to hit a number.
Right.
Because this year, I probably will end up reading fewer books than last year, but I'm okay with that. Mm-hmm. Where with the Goodreads challenge, I always felt like I had to up my number every year.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why. And so that's why I dropped it, but more power to you if you want to keep it. If it's fun for you, why wouldn't you?
Yeah. If it got to a point where I felt like it was a burden on me, then I definitely would not be interested in it. But I just loved seeing, like, Anne, you're 13 books ahead of your challenge.
Gosh,
and
that's
being
incredible.
Like, well, because audiobooks, I did so many more audiobooks this year, and so you can fit so many more in if you go that direction.
Yeah.
So it was very fun to
awesome.
To sort of feel that pat on the back from Goodreads. But it's interesting. I don't think you use Instagram very extensively.
No, I love seeing Instagram, but I don't use it that much.
But there are a lot of people I follow that are book people, and they always take, like, Bookstagram is a big thing, and there's all these pictures of people reading in their cozy knee socks and cats
and
stuff.
Holding a cup of
they're always very
coffee,
very curated pictures, and I always think, do they do anything else in their lives? Because it seems like they just spend their entire weekend reading, and I'm it's sort of aspirational in a way. Like, I look at that and think, oh, I should get a cozy candle setting and find a cat. No, I'm not going to do
get
that
a dog.
Part of it.
Get a dog.
But I never want to make decisions on what I choose to do with my time based on, I need to read.
Right.
So, I feel like I didn't give into that this year.
Good.
So.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad.
Okay. What else did we talk about last year?
Okay,
book challenges.
So
and stuff.
Book challenges. You want to do that next? I did two book challenges this year. I did the Book Riot Read Harder Challenge, and I have one category left, which is to read a book out loud to somebody.
That's
and
the tricky
so
one.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to have to read to my dog, but they said that was allowed.
Oh,
in
good.
Fact, somebody said that, like, I don't have anybody in my life to read a book out loud to, and they said read it to an animal, you know, read it to your pet. So I thought, well, he'll be perfectly happy sitting on my lap while I read a book to out loud to him. I think he likes hearing my voice, so I think he'll be okay. And I have the book with no pictures checked out for my book to read to him. which is, I know, your favorite.
Yeah.
And then I also did the Pop Sugar Challenge, which I only have one book to go there. So we have 2 weeks left mm-hmm. in the year. So I should be able to knock that one
awesome.
Out. And then, so yeah, I'm pretty pleased. I was very happy to do the book challenges, because particularly the Read Harder Challenge diversified my reading
for
in
sure.
a way that I don't know if I would have been inclined to do. You know, I would have had good intentions, but I don't know if I would have followed through on everything if I didn't have that those challenge
right.
categories to fulfill. So it was really fun. I'm definitely, in fact, we'll talk when we, I don't know if we want to talk about it now or later, about what our 2017 plans are. And I have some other those challenges plus some other ones that I'm
yeah,
going to
me,
decide.
Tell, that's, I have it written down now of, okay. of, to talk about it.
Okay. So there are four different challenges that I'm not necessarily going to do them all. So I have to pick out which ones I want to
no,
do.
No, I support this.
You do?
Okay. I
do. Well, there are a lot of categories that are on more than one challenge,
yeah.
it seemed like.
It's
so
pretty easy to cross.
Yeah,
it list
crosses
them.
Over. So I think I might actually be able to do them all. We
awesome.
Will see. All right. So the Book Riot Read Harder Challenge actually just came out this morning before we
no,
were going
I haven't
to
seen
record.
It yet.
And so I printed it out, and some of them I'm like, oh, sure, I can do this. And then some of them, let me read off a couple that were like, oh, this is going to be.
This is like hot off the presses. I feel so,
I know.
So excited.
This is interesting. So in previous years, I think it was just Book Riot staff that put together the challenge, but they got six authors. So they got six authors to contribute a category who are sort of Book Riot favorite authors. Sarah McLean being one of them, Celeste Ng, who was just one of your favorite authors of a book you read in 2016. And Daniel Jose Older did one,
oh,
which
awesome.
You talked about
yeah.
one of his books before. The hardest one, I think, for me will be read a collection of poetry in translation on a theme other than love.
Oh, that's brutal.
Hard.
That's really brutal.
Really hard. And then another one, read a book published by a micro press. And my fear on that one is just being able to find a book to read
yeah.
from a micro press that sounds appealing. But I won't read all of the different categories, but there are 24 different categories. Some are going to be easier. I mean, one's read a debut novel. Like I will always
yeah.
One's read a book about books. We've talked before about
yeah.
how much we like books about books. So, I mean, some of them will be super easy, and then some of them will really stretch me, which is, I think, kind of the point.
Right.
All right. So that's one. The other one, the Pop Sugar Challenge, I'll do again. That mm-hmm. is 40 books, and then they have like a supersized version.
Yeah,
did you see that?
They've sort of done a like a basic level,
yeah,
and then there's the advanced
stuff.
Level,
which with another
like 10 things 10, or something.
12 or
yeah,
something
maybe.
Like that. I will attempt to do that one again.
Mm-hmm. I love to see how they have to revamp it each year
I
to
know,
make it different.
To make
like,
it
you
different.
You can't just do completely different categories.
Right.
You have to up it somehow
yeah.
every year.
Yeah,
so
mm-hmm. that one this year, for the most part, I would say about 90% of the books on the Pop Sugar Challenge, I was able to fill in after I'd read a book,
mm-hmm.
I'd go find a category that it fit into.
Right.
So I don't know that stretched me as much as the Book Riot one did,
right.
but it was still fun to keep track. And there were definitely books that I chose just so they would
mm-hmm.
fit into the Pop Sugar
the
Challenge.
Romance set in the
future. In the
future,
yeah. That was the hardest probably. Then there's another one I found this year called Around the Year in 52 Books.
Oh, yeah.
Which is on Goodreads.
Yes.
And
I think I belong to that group too, but have never done their challenge.
Really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
So that it's the first time I had seen it. And there is a lot of crossover with the Pop Sugar Challenge
mm-hmm.
categories, although I haven't looked for the Book Riot one yet to see if there's crossover there. But it's 52 different categories of books that you read. The idea being you read a book a week in each of the categories. So
mm-hmm.
I thought that might be kind of fun, something different than
yeah.
what I've done in the past. And then the last one is there's a website called Modern Mrs. Darcy, and
mm-hmm.
a woman named Ann Bogle does that website as well. She has a podcast called What Should I Read Next? And she has done a challenge, and it's a two-part challenge. You can either do one or the other part or both. And she has reading for fun. And so it's all categories that are more of the fun,
mm-hmm.
enjoyable side that you get to select 12 books that you really, really want to read.
Yeah.
And then the other side is reading for growth. And it's books that are, you know, a genre that addresses current events, immigrant story, diverse books, you know, the hashtag diverse books movement. And so those are to stretch yourself a little bit. So I
mm-hmm.
thought that was a fun category too. And she has a little kit, a free kit that you can download to go along with that. So those are the four challenges that I'm considering for
mm-hmm.
the coming year, but I don't know that I will do them all.
Yeah. I love reading what the categories are. Mm-hmm. I think it's so much fun. And then when it comes down to it, then I always end up reading what I feel like or need to read for book clubs generally. And then at the end, I just am trying to fill in things. Yeah. So this year I also did the Read Harder Challenge and the Pop Sugar Challenge. And I think I'll finish, I have a few more on the Read Harder Challenge, but all the books I have picked for it, for those categories are very short. Mm-hmm. So I think I'll be able to finish. And then I don't know that I'm going to finish Pop Sugar because I didn't do a great job of thinking about it during the year. Like I definitely did the plug it in toward the, like as I'm reading and just see if it fits somewhere. And most of the stuff I did read would fit pretty easily. But then like in mid-November, I actually thought, oh, I need to start planning this. Yeah. And it's a little too late at that point to start plotting. So. Yeah. But it was a learning experience because I had never really tried to complete a challenge before. So you sort of realize your strategy as you go along. And there's definitely things that I could have read for the podcast that would have fit into categories if I had given it some thought and not just like picked something off the top of my head that I had kind of on my to be read list. So I definitely can do better with that. And I really enjoyed I would keep the lists on my fridge. And so then I'd
That's a good idea.
Have it there to think about, which you'd think I would have put more thought into it based on that. But
I could see how it sort of become like background noise if you're seeing it all the time.
Or I just sort of assumed I'll read everything just by chance without any planning. Yeah. And you really do on a lot of these have to plan out something. So.
One of the things I thought about trying to do, because one of my other goals for 2017 is to read more books off my own shelves than library books. And so one twist I thought I could give it is to, for one of the, probably not the Book Riot Challenge, because like, I don't think I own any books from a micropress, but maybe the Pop Sugar Challenge, read all books I already own for all of the categories. So
that's upping it a level.
I know. We'll see if I could do it. But I thought that might give me some incentive to, instead of pulling a book off the library bookshelf, pull it off my own bookshelf. I don't know. We'll see if I could do it.
That sounds fascinating.
I know. I don't know.
I also signed up for the Litzy A to Z challenge. I've never done an A to Z challenge before. If you're not familiar with Litzy, it's a new social media app that is kind of a cross between Goodreads and Instagram. So it's all about books and it's very geared toward book recommendations, but it has the picture aspect of Instagram and definitely has sort of that curated, to some degree, the curated like cozy scenario element to it, but not nearly as much as Instagram where everything is just, you know, they had someone else take this picture and like you get a lot
very staged.
Right. You get a lot more kind of organic. Yeah. This is what I'm reading. You can tell it's just a crappy phone that they took a picture with. And so it feels a little bit more like a community of people discussing books and everyone, I've been on it. They just released an Android version of it. Okay. So it had been only for iPhones for a while and now it's gone to Android. And so I've only been on it for maybe 3 months, I want to say. Everyone's very nice. There's people that have said, oh, I go through Buford all the time. And it's really cool to sort of connect with people in a way that I know a lot of people enjoy on social media, which I have not really done a lot of in the past. But so they have an A to Z challenge that you actually had to sign up for online. And you can choose to do A to Z authors or A to Z titles. Mm-hmm. And I picked the title track, I think. So it's I think that'll be interesting. Yeah. And I'm sure I'll probably do pretty well just without having naturally to try on that, but there's a couple of letters obviously they'll have to think about a little bit. So and I sort of like the challenge of having to cross populate the list. So what will work for like a National Book Award winner will also work for someone from Southeast Asia. And how can you find this crossover is I adore stuff like that. So I'm a nerd.
Nerds. So one of the other things that I talked about last year was trying to diversify my reading. Mm-hmm. That was both with the culture and background and race of authors and main characters, as well as genre diversification. Mm-hmm. And I think I actually did okay on that. I could definitely do better, but I feel like it was a more diverse list than I read last year or previous years, particularly in genre. I know last year I talked about I sort of defaulted to women's fiction, chick lit, romance. And so this year I felt like I read more diversely in genre and read some horror and sci-fi and nonfiction and things.
Maybe a little podcast called Well Read with that?
I think that may have helped, although I don't read that much for the podcast the way you do. You read a lot.
I use it as an excuse to read from my to-be-read list.
Right, and I read or I select books to talk about in the podcast that I've already mm-hmm. read.
You find a way to fit it in. Yeah. So it's like barely a horror novel.
Well, I don't like horror novels.
I know, I'm just teasing you. Right now I have my head sort of like coyly
yeah.
propped.
Like maybe that's what you do. No, I mean, I have read like the short stories.
Yeah.
We talked about that. I read for that episode. There have been a few episodes I read particularly for the episode, but mm-hmm. often I just look back through so many years of reading
right.
so many books, and I always have something, and not only a book to talk about, but a book to recommend,
right?
You know, which is nice.
I think you're really good too at being able to talk about books that you read many years in the past. At least you come across as being able to. Whereas I feel like if I read, like if you talk to any of my friends, they will tell you how I have a great memory for books and authors and Eurovision trivia. And but if you ask me to quote from anything yeah. or to remember the ending of anything, mm-hmm. I can't do it to save mm-hmm. my life.
Yeah.
Like it's laughably bad. And so often there's a book that I think fits a category, but then I can't remember.
Yeah,
because
enough about it.
There's definitely books that stick with me, mm-hmm. but there's many books yeah. that I just don't remember well yeah. enough. And so I wish I had, I wish I had kept Goodreads around longer
yeah.
where I had more of a backlist of yeah. things to go from. So.
Yeah, I used to, before I used Goodreads, I started Goodreads in about 2007, I think. Mm-hmm. Before that, I used to keep a handwritten list of everything I read probably back from like 2000 or 2001.
Oh, yeah.
So
I did that when I was a kid, but I yeah. haven't done it as an adult
yeah.
until I got Goodreads.
Yeah,
and
although there are still
that.
Books that I would look at on that list today and probably be like, I
yeah.
have no memory of
yeah.
reading that. so I have to refresh myself if something fits for a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say the podcast, just from the topics or in researching books to mm-hmm. talk about for the podcast, I'll stumble on things that sound good
right.
and add those to my read,
right.
to read list. But like I said, I think I could definitely do better than I even did this year because especially reading authors of color.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I did as well as I should be doing for that. And one of the other things that I talked about last year was there were two books that I hadn't read the previous year that I really wanted to get to.
Mm-hmm.
One was A Little Life by Hanya Yanagihara, which is, if you listen to our top 10 of the year, you know I read and loved. And then the other one was to read the Neapolitan books by Elena Ferrante,
mm-hmm.
the I think it's four books in that
right.
series. So I did read the first one, and I have to be honest, I did not love it.
Yeah.
I thought it was all right, but I did not understand the huge amounts of praise that
people
I got.
People adore that
adore
series.
Adore that series. And so I felt like I sort of missed the why it was so amazing.
Right.
And so at some point, maybe I'll go back and read the second one, but I had thought to myself when I started, oh, okay, this is me starting the first one and then reading the next three right in a row.
Right.
And that's not how I felt. So
interesting. Do you think maybe the covers infuriated you so much that you just couldn't go on?
It could be.
That's
could
how
be.
I feel. Every time I think, this series that everyone loves and I feel like I need to know about, I just look at those covers and you've given me an article that talks about mm-hmm. the point of the covers, which I can
yeah.
link to because it's definitely interesting. And it's not just a fluke that they
yeah.
have the covers, but I still see them and it just makes me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I don't know what. And I read it in January of last year, probably
oh, wow.
soon after we had published this episode or the, you know, 2016 resolution episode. I was so eager to read it and,
mm-hmm.
and partially thinking I'm going to read this and then want to complete the series. So I need to read it early in the year so that I can read the rest.
Yeah. Because they're big. They're
yeah.
decently big.
Yeah. One of them's really big. The
yeah.
the first one's only about 350 pages maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not enormous. But and I read it and I don't know. I just wasn't blown away by
yeah.
my unpopular opinion. You
well,
know?
This year has been a very dramatic year mm. for that series because
yes.
the author was potentially outed.
Outed.
And there's lots of controversy
yeah.
about that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
so which was very interesting to read all of that. Background
right,
stuff
right.
But so this was a good year to have read the series
yeah I think and then you know maybe someday I would go back and read the series but I don't have this burning need to
mm-hmm.
to finish it and the love that so many people have
right.
for it so this year I'm doing a similar thing where there are two books that I really wanted to get to this year that I never actually did get to. The first one is Homegoing by Yaa Jassy,
oh,
which
yes.
everybody says is so amazing.
Which I think we talked about it
yeah,
at one point.
The preview.
Yeah,
the summer book preview maybe?
Probably.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so never got to that one. And then the other one is A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles.
I'm so shocked.
I know. Well, I will be honest, I started this book
uh-huh.
and it was at a time where I had lots going on And so I was only reading right before I would go to bed and basically no other time during the day. And so I was only reading maybe like 10 pages at a time, 15 pages, because I was so tired every night. And I realized I was not doing it justice. It's kind of got a slow start. It's a little, you can tell he's setting, it's very character driven. Yeah. And so he's setting the stage for who these characters are and who the main character is and what's going to eventually happen. And I just thought, this is a bad time to read this because I am not going to appreciate, and I know I loved his first book so much that I was like, I want to be able to devote myself to this book. So
and to
I
give it an honest assessment.
Right, exactly. So I have not read it. So that's the other book that I want to for sure get to in 2017. There are some other ones that I think I would hope to be able to get to that I didn't get around to, but those are the two that are my priorities for 2017. So what about you? You had a book you wanted to read in 2016, right?
You're a cruel friend, Hallie.
Just curious. Because I know we both listened to last year's episode in preparation. And I believe you said you were going to read War and Peace this year.
And I had an awesome mic drop moment. And so that's what makes this even harder, because it was just so brash. I did not read it. But here, so here's my excuses, because they really are excuses. To start, I... So... Hallie's laughing at me so much as I scramble for why I didn't read War and Peace.
I think everybody can understand why you did not read War and Peace.
I want to read it.
I know you do,
much.
But I just think you don't even need an excuse, because everybody will understand why you wouldn't have gotten around to
well,
it.
Well, so here's what happens, and I'll be very honest on my reasons. So to start, my mom gave it to me for Christmas, but there was a little bit of a snafu of getting the copy to me where it got sent to the wrong place. So it was several weeks after Christmas by the time I actually got the book, which wouldn't have really mattered that much because it was still like February or something. But then the whole reason I was going to read it was because there was this adaptation that was coming out and I was super excited about that. And I said in the podcast that I wanted to read the book before I saw the adaptation, because I really enjoyed that experience of read the book, then watch the movie. And I had read, I don't know where I read this or if I just made it up in my head, that it was going to be shown in the UK in January and then like in the spring would be shown on PBS, which was not the case. It was then shown on Lifetime, which was sort of a shock. In early
in the year.
Yeah. And so there wasn't really that lag time that I had been counting on. And so then when it was out, I didn't have that push to be getting it done before the adaptation came
you
didn't
out. Have that deadline.
So I knew I could still watch it. I knew I had bought the DVD for the library, so I knew it was available. But then I always had an excuse of, well, I've got to read this other stuff first. I've got this other stuff for book clubs, I've got the podcast stuff, I've got publisher things. I always had something that I would prioritize. And so you had actually gently reminded me of my promise at one point by coming on Facebook and saying, so how's War and Peace going? And I was so mad at you.
Because I had totally forgotten you said you were going to read it.
And you had
it.
Just listened to
and
the
I'd
podcast.
And I listened to the podcast and I was laughing out loud to myself in
you
my
knew.
Office. So I'm pretty sure she would have mentioned if she had finished War and Peace.
So the other thing that I've sort of discovered this year is that I like I don't necessarily want to carry a big book around with me because they're heavy and paperbacks get ruined and when you carry them around for a super long time. And so I sort of started to adopt this read a giant book before bed that I only have as my bedtime reading versus just one book going at a time. So I did that with some other things that were publisher advance copies. And so they took way longer to read than I had expected to. And so I thought that I would finish with one of those and then be able to start War and Peace and at least have started it by the time we recorded this. And that did not happen. So I actually had a terrible system going for a while that was to have my bedtime book and then my Kindle, which is all of my digital advance copies. I would read that at work. And if I was out someplace like in downtime at the doctor's office or something, and then I'd have my at-home book. Mm-hmm. So three books going at the same time, plus probably an audiobook. It just became where I never was getting done with books, or every book that I read was a three-week book versus a two-a-week kind of thing. So I would finish a bunch kind of all at once, but it was just...
That used to happen to me.
Yeah, it felt like I was never really invested in any of the stories, and I just didn't enjoy that at all. So I cut that out, but I still have the giant book at home and then another book that I'm doing all the rest of the time. So still I plan on reading it this year. I still have it. It's
this year being 2016 or in 2017?
You're such a...
No, I'm serious. No.
I wasn't making fun of you.
I'm sorry. I wasn't making fun of you. I'm serious because we're recording this early.
I'm not done enough.
The whole thing, but are you still
right.
intending
no,
to
I don't.
To start
I still
it?
Have too much of my other okay, nighttime okay. book, too.
No, I really wasn't trying to make fun of you.
You've done so much of it with War and Peace that I just expect it from you.
I wasn't even trying to make fun of you. I just thought it was funny.
I like it. I think it's funny. So my plan is for 2017, I still intend to read War and Peace, and I really like the idea of having sort of an ongoing classic
I like that.
Because I used to read classics almost exclusively, mm-hmm. and then I've sort of gotten out of that, and I realized I read The Woman in White in 2016, and I realized it had been a really long time since I'd read a classic, and I don't like that. I would rather incorporate more of those, so maybe those will be my giant books at night.
Yeah, I did that one. This is several years ago, but I remember doing that with Vanity Fair, I think, where I would read...
It's a giant book.
Yes, giant. And so I would read like a certain amount each week, usually mm-hmm. on Sundays, as I would sit
and not
try to read it just straight through, but break it up with other books. So that way, because otherwise it feels like it takes up so much of the time that you could be spend reading other books.
Yeah.
But you still have the satisfaction of reading this really
good book. Almost like it's a serialized
version
of it.
And some of those books were serialized. Right. So you read them in the way that they were.
Yeah.
Actually published.
Yeah. So that's one intention. I hope not to come back in 2018 and be making the same promise again. I truly have had it on my bedside table for the entire, once I got it for the whole year, and I've just been staring at it. So besides that, my other book plans are to finish the Dublin Murder Squad series by Tana French. Actually, we just read that you assigned it to me in June, I think, and I just assigned it to my book club in January, and I totally intend to read the first book again, which is In the Woods, because I loved it so much, and I never reread things that quickly, but I think the book has enough going on in it that it would warrant a second reading for the book club versus just saying... looking over a synopsis or something. So
the other thing you could do is the audiobooks are supposed to be very good.
Yeah,
so you might consider that. That's a lot of times if I reread something,
that's a great point.
A different format than how I originally did it. So if I did the audiobook originally, then I do the book vice versa.
Maybe I will do that.
So that might be a possibility.
Yeah. Thanks for that idea. Then I also want to seasonally read the Three Pines series by Louise Penny because I talked about Still Life on the podcast, and I think I talked about how much I enjoyed feeling the season because the first book is set in October, I think, and sort of tricking myself, even though it was October for us too, or September, I think, actually, but it was so hot here that it didn't feel like fall at all. And so I really liked how, I think she's just perfection in terms of creating a setting and making you feel like you're in the middle of this Canadian small town. Mm-hmm. And so the next one takes place in around Christmas time. So I have it on hold and should be getting it in the next day or so. So I'm excited to read that over Christmas break. And so I want to keep that going.
Yeah.
And then I would like to read The Magician series by Lev Grossman, because I've had that checked out from the library for basically a year. And then I want to finally read A Darker Shade of Magic by V.E. Schwab, because I've checked that out every 2 weeks for a year. So those are my plans. I obviously, I probably won't read them through back to back with the series, but, you know, a couple books in between.
Right,
so
good. Those are good choices. Yeah. I've read The Magician series and obviously Darker Shade of Magic. Mm-hmm. I'll be so happy so I can finally talk to you about it.
Yay.
I think that's a good manageable goal. I think I said this last time we did a resolutions episode. I used to come up with these long lists, not that long, but like say 15, 20 books. Mm-hmm. Like I'm going to get to these books this year. It would never happen, ever.
Right.
So I thought even I was going to do maybe up to 5, and maybe I will by the time January 1st rolls around. But I thought two for me was really manageable, and I could clearly knock those out. So I think you have a manageable list.
Right. And you had series, like one of yours was a series. But you had the intention of doing it. And you would have if you had liked it.
If I liked it, sure.
I know for sure you would have read the whole thing.
Yeah, I definitely would have.
That's reasonable. I haven't talked about my diversity spreadsheet, which you brought up. Did you have any more to say about that? So I said last year that I was going to just keep track and I wasn't going to try to change my reading habits necessarily, but just sort of see where I was in terms of reading. And I definitely almost exclusively read white women.
Yeah.
And so that was interesting to see. which I suspected that, but I was very surprised that I read a way higher percentage of Americans than I had thought. I thought it would be more British, but it was probably 2/3 Americans.
Okay.
And I, that was a big surprise to me. So I don't necessarily want to, like, going forward with that information, I don't necessarily want to have a specific goal, because I think last year I talked about having some friends who said they were only going to read certain authors, either people of color exclusively or non-white men. And then I, right after we recorded the podcast, I read an article that talked about sort of the arrogance of making that statement. And and I believe that these friends didn't have this intention when they made that, but I've heard other people on other reading forums sort of make similar promises. And there's always this, a little bit of a self-righteousness that comes along with that.
Condescension a
little bit. Of, well, I only read.
Right.
And so, so
it's like the people who don't watch TV.
Exactly. So we all know you do. So the article made the point that it's more like, why make a proclamation? Why not just read them and then recommend them? And so that's more of what I, and we've got a forum to do that. And so, so that's more of my goal. And definitely the Read Harder Challenge helps with that. Just to sort of make that, make you think in those terms. So, so that's, I don't have a number that I'm trying to hit, but I really liked the tracking aspect of it. And I am excited to compare 2016's numbers with 2017's numbers and see how I increased or hopefully won't decrease. But
well, and I would say too, along those same lines, is it made me think about what I was picking up. Like, because I do default to all white women generally is what I don't know why, that's just what I'm drawn to. So it did make me think about what I was picking up and think about the books. Like, I do need some other perspectives. That's all it is. You know, that's all it is. It's just other people's perspectives.
Right. It's not trying to check something off a list.
Right.
It's trying to not be in your own head all the time. So,
All right. So do you have anything else for 2017?
Yes. I, well, I had a couple of goals last year to quit more books, and I did better with that.
Okay.
And to be more discerning in picking books and to choose more things
about,
and I think I did better on that. And usually if I wasn't loving something, I quit it. And so that was very freeing to feel like I didn't just have to slog through something. So my goal this year is to read more books that I own. I kind of have a loose goal of like for every two library books to read a book that I own. Cause at this point I'm reading zero that I own.
Yeah,
it's all basically from the library. I don't know that I'll stick to something that hard and fast, but I sort of have that in the back of my head. And then also to finish some series that I've started in the past, because it's very easy. There's just so many series out there, and you read the first one for something and then you just never come back to it. And there's a lot of series that I really enjoyed, and I'm taking forever to get through them. So what I've sort of been doing is to pick two or three, and then I tend to listen to those when I'm driving. And so that's helped. So I'm in the right in the middle of the Flavia Deluce series by Alan Bradley, which is very enjoyable. I have the Christmas one for driving for Christmas, so I'm very excited. And then also the Maisie Dobbs series by Jacqueline Winspear. And so those are both books that I maybe would feel like if I read them in print, I would have other things that I'd want to prioritize over those, even though I really enjoy them and I don't want to give them up completely, but there's just something about taking the time to read it in print versus just having it sort of naturally fed into my ear that I am looking forward to. But there's it's interesting to look back on what you've read in the year, and when I see a bunch of books from series, then I sort of, they just sort of all blend together. So I want more dedicated reading time.
I understand. That's good. All right. So anything else?
Nope, that's it for me. Anything for you?
I don't think so. I think my big goal this year is to read more of my own books.
I think that's a great goal.
I think that's, and I've talked before, I need to quantify that because I'm not very good at vague proclamations, vague resolutions. So somehow I need to quantify that. And I don't know if it's going to be, you know, for an entire month only read off my own shelves, or like I said, for the challenge, read off only my own shelf. But I have a lot of books to choose from because I have advanced reader's copies on my Kindle. I have physical books in my house. I mean, I have plenty of books to choose from. So I could easily spend the next probably 3 years or 4 years just reading off my shelves. But I have to select how exactly I'm going to do that. But that's probably my main goal for the year.
All right. Sounds good.
Sounds good. We're ready to face 2017.
We can do it.
We can do it. All right. So we will be right back with what we're reading this week. right, Anne, what are you reading this week?
This week I'm reading Sex Object by Jessica Valenti. Have you read this yet?
No, but it's one I've seen around a lot.
Mm-hmm. Jessica Valenti writes for The Guardian, and she's published other books about feminism and politics and culture. And this is her memoir. And I don't think she's written another memoir. I don't think her other books are so personal. But I'm not 100% sure on that. But this one revolves around her personal experiences and dealing with gender issues and how they've shaped her into who she is today as a feminist. So she's writing essays that the first essays cover her family background. And you find out that she comes from a long line of women who have been sexually assaulted in some way to kind of various degrees. None of them are okay in any way. But she hopes to break that pattern with her own young daughter that she's raising. And then she talks about the choices that she made in her teenage years and in her 20s. And as with most women, so many of them were made with the expectation of, or the idea of male expectation in the back of your mind. I would even argue that most of our decisions are made with that in our minds. And so we frame our existences based on the parameters that men have set for us, whether that's intentional or not. And often those parameters only allow women to be seen as sex objects. So she grew up in New York City and had horrifying experiences pretty much every day of seeing things that she shouldn't have seen, and from a very, very young age. And I can't talk about most of them on the podcast, but they're horrifying. And they can go from small catcalls to truly terrible things. And at first, when I read that, I thought, oh, I'm so lucky that I've never dealt with that. And I've never lived in a place where that's been such a prominent part of my everyday existence. And then I got really angry to think that shouldn't be luck.
Right.
And that I shouldn't have to be grateful that I haven't had a man try to corner me on the street. Mm-hmm. Like that blows my mind that women are grateful in that mm-hmm. way. But we all are. We mm-hmm. think about that all the time, of how lucky we are to not have experienced those things. So it made me think about, obviously each essay is kind of different, and you can't really cover tons of what she says, but it did make me think about a conversation I had with a friend of mine where I was trying to sort of clarify what feminism meant to me. And he was sort of under the impression of this, it was all man-hating, bra-burning kind of old-timey stuff that I don't know ever really existed the way that people think it does. But I had to explain that women 100% of the time are aware of their personal safety, and that men have no idea what that's like to always be thinking about what you're who's around you and where you're walking and what someone might say to you. Like, am I wrong in thinking that that's something we think about all the time? Yeah. So it's not like as a feminist, I'm trying to claim any special privilege for women that we're somehow better. It's just to be able to walk outside and know that I'll be safe. Mm-hmm. Like, that shouldn't be revolutionary, mm-hmm. but for some reason it is. So it's given me a lot to think about, and a lot that I've sort of been grappling with over the past few days that I've been reading it. But even though it's a very serious topic, the book has a very lighthearted tone, because she's kind of telling a lot of stories in a humorous way of, look how dumb I was for making this decision. So it's more on the memoir side versus like theory in her writing. But her examples aren't always dramatic things. Like I've mentioned before, it talks about like the small insidious ways that we demean ourselves, like smiling when someone tells us to smile, or to apologize when a man has made us uncomfortable. There's just so many things that, as we were talking and when we were discussing the female of the species, that you sort of don't realize until you have it pointed out to you. And then in that book, the character just rejects all of it. Mm-hmm. And that was so refreshing to see someone that just won't have any part of it. So I don't always agree with her conclusions or the choices that she made to get to those conclusions, but it's given me so much to think about as I sort of grapple with the weight of sexism that everyone in society deals with. So that's Sex Object by Jessica Valenti.
I want to read that.
I think you'd like it.
Yeah. All right. What I'm reading this week is Leave Me by Gail Forman. And Gail Forman typically she writes young adult novels up until this one. This is her first mm-hmm. book featuring adults. And she doesn't say it's an adult novel, because she knows adults read young adult novels. So she just says it's, you know, it has characters that are adults. Mary Beth is a 44-year-old married mother of twin children who doesn't realize she's having a heart attack until after the fact. And she ends up in the emergency room and ends up having bypass surgery. And when she returns home from the hospital to recover, it becomes immediately clear to her that her recuperation is an imposition to her family, and they want her doing everything she's always done.
Oh my
and
gosh.
Her mother is there to help help in air quotes, and is giving a concerted effort to help, but is also, you know, people will come to drop off food or something. She invites them in to socialize, and Mary Beth is thinking, all I want to do is rest and recover, and I don't feel like entertaining.
Right.
She packs a bag and leaves. She decides.
I have my arms in the air right now. I'm so
she just picks up and leaves, and she goes to a town outside of Pittsburgh and rents an apartment and basically drops off the grid and decides takes half of their savings in cash and is just to figure out how to get back to her life.
Yeah.
And part of the story is that she was adopted, and they say that because she's very concerned about lifestyle choices are what led her to have a heart attack at 44. And they tell her really it's probably genetic. Mm. But she doesn't know anything about her family because she was adopted. So she doesn't know anything about her birth mother or what the situation was in her family. So that has an element to it too, of her trying to figure out some things that have gone wrong in her life and her marriage and maybe where those come from as mm-hmm. far as being adopted. And she makes friends with her 20-something neighbors and the eccentric doctor who she goes to for some follow-up appointments after, you know, because she's still recovering from major surgery. She needs to go, but she doesn't claim to have insurance. You know, she doesn't want to file insurance papers mm-hmm. because then somebody would know where she is. So she has to go to a doctor who will take her for cash. And you know, so he's a little bit, he has his own story. And she gets a chance to reflect on the choices she's made in her life. And it's good. It's fun. Fun isn't the right word, but it's a light read, which is for me a perfect time to read this sort of a book is around now because mm-hmm. I think everybody is busy at mm-hmm. this time. There's lots of busy things and that happen around the holidays, and you're maybe traveling or mm-hmm. just decorating, cookie baking, wrapping presents, shopping, whatever mm-hmm. you're doing, going to parties. There's lots of
regardless of what you celebrate, there's stuff going on.
Yeah. And so I always like these kinds of books at this time of at a busy time of mm-hmm. my life. And because it's entertaining and interesting to read, but it's not too doesn't tax my brain either. And I think everybody can identify a little bit with that impulse to pack up and just leave your life for a little while, take a vacation from your life. And so that is Leave Me by Gail Forman.
That's such a great kind of double narrative too of the family side of it, but then she has this background that she doesn't know about. That's a very smart decision.
Yeah.
So that sounds awesome.
It's well thought out, I mm-hmm. think. All right. So that's it for us today. We don't really need to discuss the books that we talked about because you'll just put those in our show notes.
Yeah.
So thank you, everybody, for listening to us for 2016. We're looking forward to a good 2017. If you have any reading resolutions of your own for 2017, or you want to let us know how you did for your reading in 2016, you can get in touch with us at email at wellreadpod@gmail.com or on Twitter at wellreadpodcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or your other podcast provider of choice. Our podcast is engineered by Adam Farver. Our theme music is Kitten by Poddington Bear. We keep our show notes at beaufortcountylibrary.org/wellread, where you can find a listing of every book we talked about in this episode, as well as all of the relevant links for our resolutions. And I think that's it for us. Thank you all for listening, and happy reading.
Happy New Year.
And Happy New Year. Mm-hmm.